Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
There's a wonderful passage in the 68th Psalm that says when Christ ascended to the Father after his resurrection, he took with him an offering of all the redeemed sinners, those that had previously been held captives to sin, Satan, and even death. These redeemed ones were his offering to the Father. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captive those taken captive. You have received gifts among men, even the rebellious ones, that Jehovah God may dwell among them. The Apostle Paul quotes from this verse in Ephesians 4, but he adds to it, making clear that the Son has now given these ones back to the body, the church, and even to mankind as gifts. The gifts that Christ has given to his body. That's our topic today, and Francis Ball has returned for fellowship on this topic. Francis, welcome back.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Francis, I hope we don't lose our listeners to follow this train, and it's going to be referred to as a train in a moment here. To follow this train is really quite a marvelous thing in the New Testament, as Paul brings up this matter that's referred to in the Old Testament, as we just mentioned. His quotation in chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 8 adds a little bit to it. Let me now read this verse. Again, it's very similar to what we just read in 68th Psalm. Therefore, the Scripture says, having ascended to the height, he led captive those taken captive and gave gifts to men. Francis, when we put these two verses together, it gives us quite an impression, I would say, of the heavenly view of his earthly journey, don't they?
Yes, it does. And you might say even more than his earthly journey, because this traces the Lord's coming in incarnation to be on this earth for 33.5 years and his going into death and going into even Hades. He ministered his victory and then coming out from Hades back to the earth again and ascending up to the height, taking with him a train of captives. I think we'll see in here where those captives came from and who they are. So I'm anxious to get into this and hear how this will work out so that we really know who these captives are and how the Lord brought them to the Father and also received them back. And we're going to see how they're given back to all of us as gifts.
This is such a marvelous and typical of Ephesians, such a heavenly view of Christ, as you said, his journey. Witness Lee is going to refer to it as the Christ's universal traffic, and a beginning, as you said, with his incarnation, his human living, his death, passing into the tomb, even to Hades, and then in resurrection, and ultimately ascension, and then giving back to the body of Christ these gifts. I'm looking forward to our program today, Francis.
Yes, so am I.
Let's join Witness Lee.
Concerning the oneness in the body, everything's one. But Paul points out the gifts are not one. The functions are not one. The gifts are different. The functions are many. They are not one. Then, how the gifts were given? The gifts were given by Christ's universal traffic. There is a universal traffic accomplished by Christ in this universe. It is by this traffic of Christ that the gifts were given to the body. What was Christ's traffic? Firstly, he traveled from the heavens to the earth, and he was stationed there in a manger for some time. And then he was stationed over 30 years in a little town by the name Nazareth. And then he went to a little mountain by the name Golgotha. And he was put on the cross. And he stayed there about a little over 6 hours. And then, you know the story, he went to visit the tomb. And from the tomb, he went down to visit Hades. He was really having a tour there for 3 days. And then he came out of that. He came back to stay on this earth. He stayed with his disciples 40 days. Then one day, he ascended to the heavens. We taught Psalm 6:8. We taught Ephesians 4. We could never realize while he was ascending to the heavens, he led a train of captives. He was a conqueror coming back home, and he presented the captive to his father. His father would say, okay, I'm so happy with all these captives. Now I give them back to you as gifts. You led them, and you present them to me. Now I'm so happy, I return them to you as gifts. And then he gave all these captives as gifts to men. And one of these, you know, was whom? Saul of Tarsus. Another one was who? Was you. No doubt, another one was me. I'm so happy to tell you this. This was the way that he gave gifts to men.
Well, we're going to spend all day, Francis, seeing who these captives are that become gifts and the traffic as it unfolds. But let's review a little bit again what we've seen so far. What is this universal heavenly, earthly traffic that he is describing?
This is the trip that the Lord took, coming down from the heavens to be incarnated as a man, living on this earth. As Brother Lee pointed out, first he was confined to that manger for a short time. Then he was brought up and lived in Nazareth and eventually went to Golgotha and was there for 6 hours. It's interesting how he pointed out this is kind of an assignment.
Right.
He's restricted to these places over this period of time. Then after going to Golgotha and defeating the enemy, Satan, and defeating death and defeating sin, all that took place when he was crucified on the cross. Then he went into the tomb.
Right.
And not only in the tomb, but he went into Hades. And there he announced to all those occupying Hades his victory, all that he had accomplished up to this point. And then he comes out of Hades and comes back to the earth again and spends about 40 days with his disciples there, training them how to live by him without seeing him. And then he went back and ascended into the heavens, taking with him all these that had been gained, had been released from Satan and sin and death. Now they are his treasure. They are his captives. He's brought them back to himself now. And he takes them as captives in a new train. They were held captives by sin, Satan, and death. But now he's captured them back and brings them in his train into the heavens and presents them to the Father as his trophies. And the Father is so appreciative and so admiring all these trophies that he gives them back to the Son as gifts to him. And then the Son, in turn, gives all these as gifts to men. We'll see ourselves included in this, and we'll see what it is as a benefit to mankind even.
Yeah, that is marvelous. And by the way, an excellent summary of a concept that is a little difficult to handle when we first are confronted with it. But once we see it, how marvelous is this, Francis? And especially this last point that you just touched on, that really becomes the focus of where we're going next, and that is that we are included in this train. Yeah. Certainly we were included among Satan's captives at one point in time, or for a long period of time for many of us, but there was a release only to become, in a very proper and marvelous sense, captives once again, this time, though,
that's right,
to Christ the head, and now to be in his train.
Yeah.
And to be part of his offering to God the Father as his trophies, as you identified. What an uplifted view. Far, far more than just being saved to go to heaven, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my much, much more than that.
Well, as you very succinctly pointed out, the object here is the Father returns these gifts back to Christ, and now Christ is returning them to the church, to the body, even to the earth, to mankind as gifts. As Paul pointed out in the verse we read, verse 8 in chapter 4, he led captive those taken captive and gave gifts to men. Let's find out how we, who were the captives, become the gifts. Here's Witness Lee.
You know, originally we were all captured. We were all captured by whom? By Satan, by sin, by death, by the tomb, by the Hades. We were all captured, the captured one. We were captives under the hand of the usurping Satan. We were under his hand as the captives. But Jesus, he defeated the captured one, and he released us, and he captured us. Then we all became his captive. In his travel, he died for our sins. In his travel, he accomplished everything. He picked you up. He picked me up. He picked up Saul of Tarsus, and he defeated that enemy. And he freed us. He captured us from the usurping hand of Satan. We were Satan's captive. But now we become Christ's captive. He led us in a train to the height of the universe. And he presented all of us to his Father. Then the Father gave all of us back to him as a gift. And then he gave this gift to the church people. It was by this that we all sinners became wonderful gifts. By all these steps, we all have been saved, redeemed, justified, regenerated, and transformed, and made gifts. Now you understand how we are the apostles, how we are the prophets. This is the way that Christ gave gifts to his body. Not only the Apostle Paul was a gift, I thank God, all of you, every one of you, is a gift. We all are gifts given by Christ. Not only to church, I tell you, we were given to the whole world. Wherever we go, we will be a big blessing to the world. Wherever we go, we'll be a gift to the human beings. You'll become a big blessing to the people. I really mean it. Oh, we all have to see this.
Francis, there's a lot of talk among Christians about the gifted ones and a lot of to-do made about these so-called gifted ones. But what about this view that according to Christ's journey and traffic and all that he accomplished, the intent was not just to produce a few ultra-gifted ones, but to constitute all of us as the gifts to the body?
That seems very clear in what Brother Lee has brought out in this, and it really shows that this traveling that he did in all these places, he was fighting a battle. He was winning over the ones who had been taken captive by Satan, sin, and death. We've learned in the Bible all these things are capturers.
Yeah.
Satan captured us. Sin captured us.
Right.
And even death. We were held in fear of death all our lifetime, according to Hebrews 2:14.
Right.
So Christ came in all these ways to release us from that captivity, but when he released us from that captivity, he captured us to be his captives, and he led us just like a train, like a general in an army has captured all these people that he's gone out to get, and now they're all in the train of captivity being led to the Father and presented to the Father as a gift. And then, as we saw a while ago, those that are presented to the fathers are given back to the Son, and the Son gives all those, every one of them, as gifts to men. Isn't that marvelous?
Mm.
That we who have been redeemed and who have been regenerated and have been captured by the Lord, we are the gifts to mankind. And wherever we go, we should be and we will be a real blessing to the rest of mankind. So I just feel like this is such a marvelous picture that we're not a special class of people. in those gifts, but we're just every one of us a gift of some measure to people everywhere.
Yeah, you know, we touched the other day Paul's word where he says, to me, less than the least of all the saints was this grace given to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I saw that verse then in another light, and it's magnified even more, I think, here today. Paul certainly was an apostle. Certainly Paul was a prophet. But he said, even in that status, he's less than the least among all of the members, which means that it is within our reach and actually is within God's design for all of us that we have a participation in this apostleship, in this function as prophets, and we're going to see a lot about that in this last segment today. But this is a radically new view, isn't it? I think to many, many people.
My, I wish every one of God's children could get this realization that they are a gift, that have a blessing to give to mankind because they've been rescued by Christ. They've been taken captive by Christ. They've been presented to the Father. He's accepted them. They've been given back to Christ, and He's given them back to the church and to mankind to be a blessing everywhere they go.
Well, maybe some of the keener Bible students among our listeners, Francis, might point out that, yes, but doesn't Paul say in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as shepherds and teachers? Doesn't that refer to the specially gifted ones, and isn't that what we're really talking about here? Well, I think we're about to have that concept adjusted a little bit by Witness Lee's fellowship, don't you think?
Yes, I look forward to this. I think we need this help.
Yeah, we do. We need this adjusting word that's just ahead. Here's Witness Lee again.
He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, and some teachers. We all are not only apostles, are not only prophets, we also are evangelists. We all have to be a preacher of the good news. We all have to be a teller of the glad tidings. Sometimes, even you go to the bank, you have to tell something to the teller. You become the teller. Tell the teller something. He knows the dollars, the checks, but you know Jesus. You know the glad tidings. You know the good news. You need to tell the teller something. This is an evangelist. Then we all should be shepherds. Don't you shepherd someone else? Taking care of others. We are shepherds. And we are also teachers. Well, you may say Brother Lee is always crazy. The Apostle Paul says only some. But Brother Lee says all. Don't forget, some apostles are the leading ones. Some evangelists are the leading ones. Some shepherds and teachers are the leading ones. This doesn't mean only they should be this kind of persons. They are the leading ones. They take the lead. We all must follow them. Otherwise, clergy and laymen. Otherwise, all this, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some this, some that, some this, some that. All the same thing became clergy. And we all became laymen.
That's right.
This is the highest heresy. In the body of Christ, in the church, there's no clergy, no laymen.
Amen.
We all are apostles.
Amen.
We all are prophets.
Amen.
We all are evangelists.
Amen.
We all are shepherds and teachers.
Amen.
If the leading ones could do things like that, all the following ones should do the same thing. We all should do the same. I'm so happy to tell you that I'm the apostle, I'm the prophet, I'm the evangelist, I'm the shepherd, and the teacher. How about you? I tell you, we all were in that train. In that train of what? Of captive. For a celebrating procession. Now, we are here. We are here, given by God Christ to the people as gifts.
Well, he really puts a load of dynamite under one of the sacred cows, I would say,
yeah,
of organized religion, this matter of clergy-laity. It gets destroyed in this view, doesn't it, Francis? The idea that there's a special class and then there's just all of the rest of us.
Yeah, that really is just a natural thought. It's not because the revelation is unclear, but it's because our idea is that some are more equipped than others, and there are different degrees of effectiveness and the use, but certainly every one of us is equipped as a gift to be an apostle to somebody and to be a shepherd of some and to be a teacher of some. We all have that qualification, and we all certainly should be evangelists. It's certainly clear in the New Testament that every believer should be an evangelist, preaching the gospel to others. And once you do that, then you have a responsibility and a position to also be a shepherd and a teacher to those ones. So I think this really includes every believer. This is marvelous to see this light to keep us from falling into this thought of being of different grades of position and authority. We all have this gift, and we all have this opportunity to serve the Lord in this way. We're not all the leading ones, but we know how to follow the leading ones to do the same thing that they do.
We're going to see that more in the coming messages in Ephesians, that really the job of these ones that are the leading ones in these areas is to bring all of the others into that function and to develop and perfect, is the term that Paul uses, all of the functioning members to become, in effect, apostles or sent ones and evangelists, bringing the good news and all these things. Francis, isn't the real problem with clergy laity, that system? It's not something that we would take issue with just on a doctrinal basis, but as Witness Lee very often said, the problem is that this system has annulled the proper function of all the members, and therefore it's really distorted the building up of the body of Christ, hasn't it?
Yes, that's been the sad thing that's happened among Christians, that they've been divided into a clergy class and a layman class, and this is not according to the Bible. We do need the leading ones to help us to learn how to do this apostle's work and the shepherd's work and the evangelist's work, but everyone is involved in these. We're all to be these kind of people as gifts to the body and even the gifts to mankind.
You know, Francis, this program has gone out all over the earth, really, over the last 4.5, almost 5 years now. We hear back from a lot of people, and in many places, small groups have sprung up of people that come together either to listen to these programs together or to read the material that they've received, to get into the verses, and then one by one they stand up and begin to speak these matters back to each other.
Mm-hmm.
How tremendous is this?
This is really the apostles' function in, for each other.
Right.
These are gifts given to the body, and they should not be squelched. They should not be put down as not worthy to speak because of their lack of certain kind of credentials. We all have the credentials of being apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers.
And if you have that kind of desire welling up in you from time to time listening to these programs or diving into these materials yourself, if you'd like to contact us, we'll be glad to put you in touch with others in your area that are enjoying this kind of function and enjoying God's Word in such a rich way where they're building up one another, as the apostle is really pointing us to in this book for sure.
Thank the Lord for such a light. May it really bring all of us into the liberty of being gifts to the body.
Amen to that. Brother Francis, thank you. Always a pleasure to have you, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Thank you. I'd like to.
Well, our time is out. I think it's important now that I do mention that toll-free number and invite you to contact us. We have a number of people here in the office that receive these phone calls, and one right next to my office was quite elated this morning at the call she was receiving and just this kind of activity being reported, so it seemed timely and fitting, especially in this message that we had today. Our toll-free number, if you would like to contact us for that or for any other reason, really, toll-free 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to radio@lsm.org. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to continue in this same chapter 4 of Ephesians, and more light ahead. Please be with us for that. Today, for Francis Ball and Chris Wilde, thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy name.
Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham Called by God. Abraham Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-543-3788.